Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome. I pray everyone had a blessed night and you had a blessed day, depending what time you're listening. Today on the show, I have a very special guest. It's my friend, Dr. Fred Bishy, who's a nutritionist in New York City. He's 93 years old. That's correct, folks. 93 years old. He has a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom, and he's a Christian. And he really has a heart to help people understand disease and how to live in the best food to eat from a biblical sense. So enjoy this interview I did with my friend Dr. Fred Bishy, nutritionist in New York. You can contact him. I'll give his contact information at the end of the audio here. He also has a book as well that you can get on Amazon. And so here's the interview I did. Enjoy. So in the back of your book, on the back cover of your book, you have a quote here from the Bible, Genesis 1:29, which basically said the food for man is fruits and vegetables. Uh-huh. And now a lot of people today are trained growing up to think that they need meat and animal products. So when somebody comes to you and they try to dispute that they can only live on a vegetarian diet, how do you explain to them that the original diet of creation and the way our body works best?
The human body is designed to be superbly healthy under all conditions. We are not you're supposed to be fighting our disease all the time. That's a mistake. But there's a price to pay. You have to, you know, live the life that provides the internal chemistry, the biological terrain, where you're not vulnerable to infections. There's two concepts to getting an infection. You know, if the body, the biological terrain, the microbiome, the condition of your body on a cellular level, if it's clean to a degree, you're not providing the internal environment for a bacteria or a virus to proliferate. Viruses are dead. A virus has to be able to, the spike protein has to be able to cling to the membrane of a cell, get into the nucleus and proliferate. If it can't do that, it's not going to happen. I've always been fascinated by animals. As you know, I always had a dog. I love dogs. The last two dogs I had were two big English Mastiffs. But I always loved animals. Then I studied gorillas. I've been fascinated by gorillas, and I study, you know, mountain and valley gorillas. The bonobo gorillas are very similar to us. But what I try to make to try to explain to people to the best of my ability is that you have to look at the species and the biological design of that species. Every animal on Earth has a specific biological design in their chemistry, but they are instinctual, and they follow their diet that's based on their biological design. Tigers, lions, all the big cats, house cats, they're all carnivores. All you got to do is look at their teeth. They got claws. You look at the tools they have. You look at their eyes. They're stereotyped. Their eyes are different. They ventilate through their mouth. They have a short intestinal tract that's direct. They secrete a lot of hydrochloric acid. They're very powerful, 20 times more powerful than our digestive juices. We're not cows. You know, we don't have more than one stomach. We are very specific type of animals. We are designed to eat the diet in Genesis 1:29. We have the internal physiology. It's optimal for us. We have about 28, 30 feet long digestive system. We are not, if we ate, people that eat a lot of animal protein, I have people that come to me, eat animal protein within a plant-based diet, and they do okay. I'm not dogmatic. I don't tell people. You know, the people tell me what they want to do, and I tell them if they can do it, I'm based on what they want to do. Sometimes they can't. But it's very obvious to me that people that are pushing these carnivore diets, these diets high in animal protein, they work in the beginning because they're leaving out cake, candy, soda, ice cream, all the bad things. Number one, I'll tell you what we need in this order. Number one, we need oxygen, clean air. Number two is water. Number three is nut food. Number three is sleep. You go more than 2 hours, 2 weeks without sleep, you're going to start to lose your mind. Number three is nut protein. Number three is sufficient calories to sustain yourself. So you could be getting those calories from fat, from protein, from starch, from fruit. But there's a way that the body is designed to create equilibrium and balance and homeostasis. You have to, you know, we are not designed to live on a carnivore diet. We are designed to eat a plant-based diet, just like it says in Genesis 1:29. Only thing is, when people go from a diet that's high in animal protein to eating a plant-based diet, or forget about eating a raw diet, the transition is so dramatic, it's so intense, that they're not getting guidance. They think they're dying. They'll lose weight. They think they're not getting enough calories. It's possible you are. You might not be getting enough calories. That's possible. But no matter which way you change your diet, if you change your diet back to a bad diet, you know, I've seen that happen. That scares the daylights out of me when I see people that were on a raw diet come back to eat animal protein, because I've seen what can happen in a lot of cases, and you know that. I won't even go into that. So if you don't understand transition and biological healing, you're going to come to the opposite conclusion.
Yeah. Well, I like what you say also about eating animal and according to the Bible. You know, the average Christian can say, well, the Bible says in Genesis 9:3, we're allowed to eat animals. So yeah. When somebody says that, what do you tell them?
That's true. But, you know, God, listen, I don't want to offend anybody. Everybody has different interpretations of what's going on. I don't view myself to be a religious person. I view myself to be a Christian, have a personal relationship with Christ. But I don't want to offend anybody. But in Genesis 1:29, how could they have known that 2,000 years ago what was the perfect diet based on our chemistry? It is the perfect diet for the human chemistry. It is. In Genesis, and from Genesis 1:29 to Genesis 9:3 is approximately 1,600 years. In that 1,600 years, according to the Bible, the people that followed the Bible were vegans. And did they get enough vitamin B12? Yes, they did. I could have an explanation for that, but I won't. In this day and age, it might not be a good idea to try that. You could always take a supplement. But from Genesis 9:3 to the time of Ruth was probably 2,000 years. Because of what happened, God left man to his own volition. For what reason? I believe he left them to their own volition because he was preparing for the coming of Christ. He left man to his own nature, which is a sinful nature. And he was preparing them for the coming of Christ. So from that time to the time of Ruth, which is 2,000 years, lifespan went, according to the Bible, a lot of people probably say that's ridiculous, but I'm telling you what the Bible says, which I believe to be true based on my own experience. From Genesis 9:3 to the time of Ruth, it was approximately about 2,000 years, if I remember correctly. And lifespan went from hundreds of years down to average lifespan was, you know, someplace between 35 and 45, something like that. I don't remember the exact years. So it's obvious what happened. Now, why did God release man to eat meat? Was that a reward for good behavior? Was that getting a couple stars? Not at all, because man was living such an evil life. And what if you believe in the flood, what was happening? The world, you know, Noah and his family had to survive, and what they survived on was predominantly released them to eat animal protein. And after the flood, of course, they didn't go back to the old ways. That's obvious, you know.
Sure. So and
we are not like other animals. We're not like instinctual animals. We're cerebral. We are uppercase animals. What that means, we are free to make choices. We can make bad choices, even evil choices, or we can make good choices, or we can make divine choices. When I say divine choices, that means we could live a sanctified life according to what Christ has provided for us on the cross.
Sure. Now, in the Genesis 1:29, they were living in a garden, and it was the particular quality of food. And today, the food is so much of a less quality, and there are people like myself that are doing our best to build the best quality food we can get. But with the lack of quality of food today, do you think it's essential for people to take some type of supplement, or do you think they can get everything they need from a diet alone, considering the quality of the food today?
That's debatable, Paul. I'm not against supplements, but I'm not in favor of what's happening today in the social media, where people are being bombarded with all these different nutraceuticals, and they're creating the attitude that you can't live unless you're taking a lot of supplements. I don't believe that. I don't take a lot myself. But I'm not against supplements. As I said before, I'm not a dogmatic guy. And there are people I tell that take supplements. And there's all kinds of nutraceuticals out there. And I look at them. Somebody wants to take them. And I look at them. What I look at to see, I try to evaluate if it's going to do them any harm. If it doesn't do them any harm, and the possibility could do them some good, I tell them to go ahead and take them. But I see a lot of people come walking in, they're coming in with a bag, a satchel full of supplements, and they're sick. It's obviously they're not helping them, especially some of the people with dealing with some of the acute diseases, you know. Of course, there are some supplements out there or things that people can take, like Sam's product, Velasta, which, that works pretty well, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
If you're eating a type of a diet where you're eating a variety of different fruits and vegetables, you're eating some starches, you're eating some fruit, if you choose to eat some animal protein, it's a person's personal choice. Taking an animal's life to sustain me is not for me. That's not part of who I am. But that's not for everybody. A lot of people choose not to make that, it's their choice not to make that choice, you know? I had the fortunate or unfortunate experience when I first got out of the military to have access to a slaughterhouse in Bayonne, New Jersey, and back in about 1955, and that was something that left an impression on me. It only took me a couple of years to change what I was eating, you know?
Sure. And the quality of the food today, though, I mean, when you do your counseling, do you consider what quality of food is available to people where they're at?
Exactly. Yeah, you're 100% right. Paul, you're very fortunate, and you got the determination and the work ethic to grow a lot of your own food. I see what you're doing. It's really, really remarkable. I wish I could do that. Unfortunately, I'm a real busy person with my personal life and people I see, and I'm living in New York City. Sometimes in the winter, I'm on a raw food diet. It's not easy to get everything that I would like to have. Of course, I would like to eat 100% organic. I can't do it sometimes in order to get what I need, so I don't do it. I wash it well, and I don't worry about it. It is what it is, you know. I eat a variety of different foods. I drink juice. I make smoothies. I drink a special water that I get from Stelt Water, a guy that's a friend of mine. He lives in Florida now. I know, very controversial about alkaline water. Alkaline water derived from the right equipment is unbelievable, you know. The hydrogen in the water is converted to oxygen. I feel it as soon as I drink it. And your diet is everything. I honestly believe that if I didn't live the way I live, I would have been dead 3 or 4 times, as you realize what happened to me, the things that have happened to me. Head-on car collision, you know, had a hole in my head, punch a hole in my head, you know, from the size of what looked like a bullet hole. From the mold poisoning I had, you know, I didn't realize mold could be such a treacherous thing if it gets into your system. Broken bones and things like that. I suffered 4 brain concussions, you know, 2 in the military, 1 in an accident. And the other one, I got hit by a line drive at a baseball game. And, you know, for the first, I got hit by the baseball the first week or so after I had very strong headaches. And I thought I lost my memory. But through fasting and living the way I live, my memory is, I think my memory might not be as good as when I was a young kid, but I got a good memory for an old guy, you know.
I don't like to pretty much generalize specific groups of people, but what I find is you talk about people being set in their ways. You say you're a Christian. What I find non-Christians in general, or New Ages, or people are willing and open to explore anything about once. But when I go to the church, I see people often so set in their ways, and it seems the longer they've been there, the more they're set in there. And when you try to explain something to them, maybe about not eating meat or just giving up coffee, I find it such a challenging message, because they think they heard from the Holy Spirit and what they're doing is right, and their interpretation of the Bible says this. Do you find the church being a little bit more of a challenge when you start expressing these things about your diet, or just you find it general everywhere?
Well, that's a pretty tough question there. You're kind of putting me on the spot, you know what I mean? But I want to answer it honestly. I find, let's see, I want to say this right. I find that, unfortunately, a lot of people in the church are no healthier than anybody else. And actually, they should be. Of course, they should have a better understanding of what a gift they got and what a fabulous human body we have here. But I find that they have the same problem with processed food addiction as everybody else, unless they're opening to understand that the, and I say that very respectfully, I'm not saying that disrespectfully, to understand that we are designed to live by natural law, according to the Bible, has nothing to do with salvation, had nothing to do with it. But it has everything to do with our health. I've seen plenty of people going to church that had the same problem with obesity as people outside the church. People have the same problems with diabetes, arthritis, all these different diseases that we know are lifestyle diseases. That it makes very clear in the Bible, if you look at the Bible, and that this was written thousands of years ago, that has come to fruition now, that if you live this way, your body is designed to respond to the natural laws. It's like you wouldn't jump out of an airplane without a parachute in the name of Jesus, would you? Hoping you'd land in a snowdrift in Siberia. No. Now, to some degree, there's a lot of people that are eating a lot of bad food, and hopefully people are praying over their food. But even if they're praying over their food, if you're eating a lot of bad food, I have a feeling that they're not going to get much different results, because they're violating God's natural law. And God's natural laws, according to the human body, are kind of set in stone. Of course, you know, I like to look at, to take this away from the context of religion, you know, whatever we discover about science. When I was a kid, I never thought that it was possible someday you'd be holding a phone in your hand and talking to somebody in Europe. I thought that was utterly ridiculous. So whatever we discovered scientifically, it got something or somebody put it there. The cosmos, the universe, it's beyond our understanding. How did it get there? If you look at the case for intelligent design, scientifically, physically, in physics, in mathematics, is overwhelming. There has to be some kind of superior intelligence to put this up. This is not a random happening. You look at a newborn baby, a man and a woman from intimacy are creating a human life. I mean, wow, is that part of a divine plan? Is that part of an intelligent design? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, I might not be the smartest guy in the world, but the more I understand about science and everything, the more I realize there is a very powerful argument to justify intelligent design and God. We have to remember that, you know, creative design, God, is infinite. The intelligence is infinite. You take the smartest guy in the world, you have an IQ of, forget about 150, 200. We're finite. We do not have the ability to evaluate the infinite. You take an ant in an ant colony on the ground is trying to understand the earth, this planet we live on. It's the same thing. And there's an arrogance that certain intellectuals have if they can't understand. My brother belonged to Mensa. I had a brother that belonged to Mensa. He always used to tell me, listen to me. You're not the smartest guy in the world, Freddie. You listen to me. Meanwhile, you know, he smoked himself to death. He did. He was a great guy. He ate all the wrong foods. He smoked a lot, and he died of lung cancer. So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. And we have to have humility. We have to humble. In order to learn, a lot of things I learned, I thought I understood. After I studied them, I realized I didn't understand them, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Bible talks about fasting, not, and Jesus himself says, not if we pray and fast, but he says when we pray and fast. So expected to fast. You've discovered in your life one of the keys to longevity is fasting. How come more pastors don't teach about fasting today? I mean, it's the Bible.
Well, I think with all due respect, I think they don't have a lot of personal experiences themselves, Paul. Going on a fast to stop eating, there's a very powerful, the hunger drive is very powerful. All addictions work through the hunger drive. Some people attempt to fast. They don't make it through the first day to the second day. They don't realize that after the third day, their hunger goes away. I was flabbergasted on a long fast that I got to the point, I didn't want to eat. I said, I think I'll go another couple of days. You know what that means. Of course, eventually, you got to know when you're coming out of the fasting state and you're going into, you know, a state where you have to break the fast because you don't want to go into starvation. But that's why I recommend people that want to go on a fast, they go to a fasting retreat and get supervised, be supervised on a fast. I used to do it. But it's hard to do it, you know, unless you're in a fasting retreat. And I remember when that professor told me you couldn't, I'll never forget that. I'd already done it, you know, I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, 72 places in the Bible, approximately 72 places in the Bible where it says we should fast and pray, you know.
Well, thank you again for your time, and I'll put your contact information. You're on YouTube. You have videos out there, and I want to get everyone get his book. I'll put the Amazon link below the video as well, and you've taught me so much when it comes to nutrition, just about everything I know, and I thank you so much. Dr. Bushy has this book, Your Healthy Journey, which you can get on Amazon. And his name is Fred Bisci, B-I-S-C-I.
All right, everybody. That was my interview with my friend Dr. Fred Bisci from New York. And what a great amount of information. I highly recommend everyone get his book. And I had met Dr. Bisci when I was sick and healing. Actually, I had already healed from a disease. And I was interviewing people who help people heal by changing their diet and their lifestyle. And over the years, I've come to have a great relationship with Dr. Bisci and met many, many people that he's worked with who had everything from something as minor as a little constipation to something as serious as cancer. And I've seen them follow his advice and get better. And this is what I strive to help people to do, to understand and help them help themselves with our Creator's instructions in mind. And like we were saying here in this interview, our Creator designed us to keep our bodies clean and healthy. And when it says, thy life is in the blood, yes, they're talking about Yahshua, the one you call Jesus. life is in the blood. The everlasting external life or eternal life is with the blood of Yeshua. But the life we live here now in the body that was built for us, the blood, keeping the blood clean and pure, is the way to physical health. Keeping the blood clean and pure. And you can do that through eating the right diet and eliminating processed foods and getting the proper amount of sleep and exercising enough and all the other aspects of health we talk about in this channel. We have to look at our spiritual health and our physical health and give our bodies the so-called full package and give it all. And don't limit yourself in any area. And I know it's not easy to make changes. Any change is a challenge. Something we've been doing a long time doesn't make it easier. It makes it harder because we get set in our ways. But I promise to you, when you follow the advice that Dr. Bishi gives, that I give, this advice is coming from our Creator. It's coming from the Scriptures. And if you want to be healthy, stop listening to unhealthy people. Most of the doctors out there today are overweight. Many of them get the same diseases as their patients get because they're following the same advice. But when we follow the advice found in the Word, our Creator Himself says, I will not put the same diseases upon you as those that do not listen, or as the Egyptians. Our Creator says He offers us a future and a hope. If you go into a doctor's office with stage 4 cancer, there's no future and there's no hope. There's just doubt and fear. But our Creator says to be joyful. To be joyful and at peace and to have shalom and follow me. So how many of you are ready to follow Him in all areas? In all areas. And some of them might be easier to some of us than others. But it's a very challenging area to change or ask somebody to change the way they're eating after they've been eating a certain way for so long. But I'm telling you, there's a tremendous correlation between what you put in your body and your health. What you put into your mind and your health. Who you follow and what you do. Tremendous correlation. So get back to the words of the Scriptures. That's why I wrote this book called Health According to the Scriptures. So you would see what the Bible says about this and prayerfully be strong enough and willing to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and not settle for anything less than the best. So if you're listening to this right now and you have a disease diagnosis or you know someone maybe with cancer or diabetes or something else, I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. Send them to my site, TorahLifeMinistries.org. Have them contact me. I want to help them. Help themselves. Praise Yahweh with His information. Hallelujah. You all have a blessed day. Thank you for listening. Until then, everybody, shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
Letting go of comfortable.